Okay, we're looking at the concept of relational living. This is part four of the installment. This will probably be the last one, just guessing. And we're talking about resolving conflict. Resolving conflict. And have you ever, I guess, gotten in conflict with a friend or a family member or a coworker before? And you had a little bit of disagreement? You know, sometimes those disagreements are just a little bump in the road, but other times they can really turn into a train wreck. And what happens is that people will stop talking to each other. And this can go on for years. I know people that's not talked to a certain person for 15, 20 years, you know, because they got into sort of a situation together, a misunderstanding, never got rectified. And, you know, the Lord knew that, you know, there would be some conflicting times in our life. Those are things that just happen, and He gave us some scriptures that can help us through those troubled times, and we're going to look at some of these today. The passage I want to start off with is found in, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For one who does not have his brother whom he has, love his brother who has not had, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your presence here today. Lord, we thank you that you're the God of reconciliation, that, Lord, we were reconciled to you. And, Lord, we just know that you have a plan for each and every one of us, Lord, that we can be reconciled with each other. Lord, I pray for a special stirring here today in our hearts, that we're willing to let go of what needs to let go of and grab a hold of what needs to be grabbed a hold of. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, again, we just bind the devil from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. Amen. All right, so this is kind of a hard scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. But this is a scripture that really kind of hits us upside the head. You know, God is challenging us here that, you know, we cannot afford to have that luxury where we can just live in hate for someone. And it's something, because what it does, it just says that we're a liar then to the gospel for the life change that God's did in our life. So the first point I want to see today is that, you know, God wants, he wants conflicts to be resolved. You know, hate in our heart. You know, if we have hate in our heart, you know, I know bad things happen to good people, right? We all been there. I mean, bad things do happen. Things that aren't fair, right? Some unfair things have probably happened to all of us. When those happen, we can develop resentment. We can even let, if resentment is not taken care of, it actually can turn into full-blown kind of hate for maybe a certain person. I know hate's a strong word, but that's kind of the feeling, you know, that we get inside of us. And, you know, that's not a good thing to have, because if we're walking in that sort of feeling, you know, we're not going into freedom. You know, we're not walking in freedom, because what it'll do is a couple things. Number one, it'll conflict in our life can hinder our prayers. It says so in Peter. It says that if a husband and wife ain't getting along, it's going to hinder your prayers. And that's why we need to deal with those sort of things. I mean, prayer for some people is kind of hard the way it is, isn't it? You know, to sit down and actually calm yourself down a little bit and want to approach a God you can't see, right? And you just hope he's hearing you. Well, then if you have hate in your heart, I mean, it's like tying both arms behind your back. So we want to resolve that. You know, and, you know, it's talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're letting somebody back into your life. It just means that you're not holding that resentment anymore. Also, conflict's going to block happiness in our life. You know, if you're angry, you're not happy, are you? You know, those things are hard. And also, what's tough to take is, you know, conflict can block blessing in our life. You know, strife blocks blessing. Scripture says in Matthew 5, 21 to 24, it says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder,' and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell." I mean, these are kind of rough, ain't they? I mean, I didn't write it, I'm just reading it, you know what I'm saying? But these are things that Jesus chose to put in the Gospels. I mean, the Gospels are good news, but the good news is God doesn't want us to hold on to these things. Then it goes on to say, "Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." That's kind of interesting, ain't it? I mean, you've gone all the way there. Now, this is Old Testament talking here where they had to present an animal. And, you know, and what's interesting, he didn't say, "Go take your offering with you," because maybe you wouldn't come back. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you leave your offering there, you're probably going to have to, you're going to fix the problem. And then you go to your brother and you try to be reconciled and try to fix this problem. So then you can present your offering, and then, you know, it opens the flow of blessing in our life. So that's kind of how important some of these things are, because, you know, God really wants us to walk in harmony. He wants us to walk in harmony. He wants us to walk in that level of peace, you know, in our heart that only He can give us. Something we need to think about is what we consume will consume us. What are we consuming? What are we putting into ourselves? Because what we consume will consume us. Before long, it'll take over us. You know what I mean? I've watched this countless times in life. You know, somebody who's had a bad thing, you know, maybe happen, or life wasn't fair, wasn't their fault. But then it just overwhelms them. And then it consumes them. And they start to consume that hate and that anger. And before long, that's just part of their DNA now. And see, God has a better plan. And we're going to get to some of the things to help us get out of there, because if we eat on hate, hate's going to eat on us. And that's how serious it can be. And we have a lot of those problems going on in our nation. I mean, it's just something that has just gotten out of hand, especially in the last 10 years probably. Just the hatred and the lack of, I guess, tolerance for somebody else's views. And it's important that we don't take that stand. I mean, I don't agree with everybody's view, but I do agree that they have a right to have that view. Just like you have a right to go to hell if you want to. That is a right. Not a privilege, but it's a right, because you have free will. And it's Jesus made all the provision in the Word for us to be free and to be able to walk in that level of freedom where you can let these things go. Because, you know, I'm preaching from experience. You know, I haven't lived a sheltered life. You know, I've had things happen in my life. And I know that these things, if they come in there and they start to eat on you, it's just going to tear you down. And all the while, God has something better. That's what really breaks my heart sometimes. Yes, I do have a heart, for those who didn't know. I don't maybe act like it. I'm not all warm and cuddly all the time, but I'm not a porcupine either, you know what I'm saying? I'm not all prickly. But, you know, one thing that does, you know, break my heart is to watch somebody who is walking in bondage. All the while, I know they can be free. I've watched God fix things. I've watched Him with my own two eyes, just watched what He can do and how He can set people free and get them delivered from all those things of the past. And, you know, it's hard because sometimes when we're in the pain, you know, we don't want to deal with it. Like I've always said, you know, if you have a splinter in your finger, you know, it hurts anytime anybody touches it, but you got to touch it to get it out, right? You got to get some tweezers or, you know, maybe a needle if it's deep, and start doing some digging. You want to get that out of your life, and then it'll heal. But it won't heal as long as that splinter's in there. And until we're willing to deal sometimes with the hate or maybe the resentment, sometimes many of it's held over from our childhood. All these things that's gone on in our life, and then, you know, what happens is that, you know, we hold those back, and then have you ever, you know, psychologists probably call them a trigger, but have you ever been in a situation where all of a sudden somebody said something a certain way and boom, you're mad? Just like that. Why? Because there was something inside of you that's still hurting. Something inside of you that hasn't been surrendered to Jesus Christ and to allow him to heal it. And those that it can be healed, it can be let go of, it can be free. But until we're willing to come to that place where we know we want to deal with that, it makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, we can walk and still live a fairly decent life, but all the while, we're carrying that burden. That burden that's deep inside of us that we're not willing to let go of. And what happens, I've watched this, I like studying people, and I just had this come up in a situation where I was teaching a class, and two people got into it. And what the root of that one was, I'm just going to throw this out, it wasn't part of my message, but, you know, they've been told they're stupid their whole life. And they felt stupid. So when somebody else had a different opinion, they took it that they're saying that you're stupid. Because to do that, they're saying you're wrong and I'm right. And that's why they went berserko. But see, God, you know, you're not stupid. Yes, we do stupid things, right? We do. But we're not stupid. You got to get that out of your mentality and not make it personal in the things that, you know, we're dealing with, because the sooner we're, you know, we need to be aware that we all have selfish desires that we have to die to. Each and every one of us here today, each and every person listening to me right now has to realize that we have selfish desires inside of us. They're there. Yes, we're born again. Yes, we have the new life. We're alive in Jesus Christ. But still, we're in the process, right? We're in the process of getting ourselves restored and healed. And inside of us is still some of those selfish desires, those things that cause us to say things we really shouldn't have said or to do things that we really shouldn't have done. But that's where forgiveness comes in. That's where the blood of Jesus comes in. You know, and that's where it comes in that we may have to go say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I mean, that's just part of it. Hard conversation, right? How many wakes up and says, man, I just feel like going and saying I'm sorry to somebody today. You know, I just want to go up to somebody and say that I'm wrong. I mean, did you wake up today and think that? Probably not. Because you woke up today probably thinking I'm right. You probably woke up to say, I'm right and they're wrong. And that kind of mentality will not bring freedom. And we're going to go into that here in a moment. See, our differences that we have should not divide us, but well-round us. You know, I like it that my wife's different from me. Number one, I like it that she's a woman. You know what I'm saying? I like that difference. But I also like it that we're just not identical. Not all the time. But for the most part, I do love it that we're not identical. We're well-rounded. Believe me, we are well-rounded. We're so opposite from each other in some ways. But yet we have enough in common that we can hold it together. And that commonality, one of the main ones, is Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, next I want to look at the idea that we need to understand that conflicts will happen. You know, we can't be naive, right? Sometimes we think, well, you know, there's never any problems in church, right? I mean, this is a safe place. Well, it should be, but it's not all the time, is it? Because anytime you have people coming together in one pile, you're going to have different opinions, correct? You're going to have different people. And so we need to understand that conflicts are going to happen in our life. You're going to get them at home. You know, if I had a dollar for every time when I did marriage counseling, well, really, I'd rather have $5, it'd be more money. But every time somebody says, oh, we never fight, we always get along, we never have a problem. And then, you know, a little bit later, they're not talking to each other. You know, what happened? But see, conflicts are going to happen. You're going to have them in your marriages. You're going to have them in church sometimes, depending. Because anytime you get involved with other people, those are going to happen. There's going to be a little bit of a rubbing that goes on in that situation. Because you're going to have a different opinion than somebody else. Now, a lot of times, we can keep it in check, right? Have you been working with somebody and you just kept your mouth shut? But boy, did you want to say something, right? Because they're doing this all wrong, and I'm right. Especially your boss at work, right? I mean, they do everything wrong. They just need to do it my way. Correct? That's how we feel. You know, those things come in. So we have to understand, you know, we have to look at it from this, and I think we got this from one of the marriage things we did one time, is not wrong, just different. When you have, especially in a husband and wife relationship, and you have two different, I mean, men and women are opposites anyway, correct, in the way they do things, and then also you have the idea of different personality traits and all that stuff coming in, and you just have to look at it. The other person is not wrong, just different. Somebody's really different, right? How many, you know, there's some really different people out there. I'm one of them. I'm really different. You know, but I know that that's out there. So things that we have is, you know, most conflicts are a result of a misunderstanding due to our differences. Two people looking at it the same way, and I'm not going to go in this real deep, but remember we did teaching maybe several years ago. It's found in, you know, Romans, I want to say chapter 12, talking about the motivational gifts, how different people are wired. It's called the gifts of the Father, and it's something that God put inside of you when you're born again. You know, somebody may be a prophecy motive gift versus a mercy. I'm a prophecy motive gift. I'm black and white. Now, I've toned it down a little bit over the last 20 years or so, but then you have somebody that's mercy, and you have somebody come in that's in sin. Well, a true prophecy gift, they're telling, dude, you just need to repent. That's the first line. Mercy says, oh, God still loves you. You're just so awesome. These two would not counsel together very well because it would frustrate them. Because one has one approach, one has the other. And it's like that, these differences that will crop up in our life. And how are we going to deal with those things and understanding? And fortunately, we did the teaching, and you can probably look them up online. There's older teaching. I might do it again here next year or two. But, you know, it talks about how if we understand that why somebody's a little bit different than us, we can maybe work with them a little better because we know where they're coming from. You know, one big one today is Democrat, Republican, right? I mean, two different views, right, in our nation. Totally different in many ways. Now, granted, in the old days, there was a little more of a common ground. Today, for whatever reason, they just choose not to have common ground. And that's tough. But see, you got it. Trying to solve a problem from two different perspectives can be a little harder. So what's some differences that we have? Number one, we're going to have different personalities. So that's a different flavor. We all have different flavors. You know, some people are more laid back. They're content just sitting there and being quiet and minding their own business. Then on the other hand, you got maybe a sanguine or somebody that says, woohoo, it's all bubbly. Why aren't you talking? You know, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you talking right now? You know, and the other one saying, why don't you just shut up? You know, you're talking too much. You know, so we have different personality traits. And those have to mesh together when you're working together. When you're together with somebody else, you got to find a way to make that work. Also, we have different priorities. You know, what's important to us? You know, what's important to you might not be important to the other person. You know, especially in marriages when they're maybe doing some spending habits. One person's priority, we need to have a savings account. Now, we need to put the money in the savings, develop that. The other one says, I want a new Xbox. or I want a new couch. I want a new washer and dryer. I want a new car. They're wanting stuff now. So here these two people have to come together to figure out that issue. You know what I'm saying? So that can create conflict. So how do you get through those sort of things? You know? I mean, some men just play the man card. Well, I'm the man, you must submit. Well, if you have to play that man card like that, you're not going to win that game. Not going to win that game. Because that's another story in itself. But primarily, you know, Bible says talking about walking in love. Next is different perceptions, how we see things. You know, we look at things totally differently. You know, how things are working. And this can come up even in, you know, marriage and discipline the kids. You know, my wife and I were, I used to be the strict one. Then I kind of mellowed out. Then she became the strict one. It's kind of weird how that works. But I don't know. Maybe I backslid. I'm not sure what the deal is. But, you know, so how we see things around us, you got that perception thing. Then last one is different preferences. You know, how things should be done. You know, how do we do things? What's our process? What's the process that you like to do things? Well, I like to do this first. Well, the other person says, I like to do that first. You know, I mean, one with me and my wife, it comes with getting ready to go somewhere. I believe my preference is to get ready early. Get yourself all fixed up, what you got to do. And then you have time to go catch up on these other things. My wife, she likes to get ready at the end, right before she goes out the door. And that's still a hard one for me in our marriage, because there's so many things that we need to get done right before we go out the door, but sometimes we don't get those things, or I have to do them. Maybe I just want her to do them, maybe that's the problem. But, you know, she prefers to do it that way. You know, and I prefer to do it this other way, so we got to find common ground. How that works, or, you know, I'm just going to have to deal with it, right? It's not life or death. It's not that big a deal, is it? I can make it a big deal. Have you ever made something a big deal that wasn't a big deal? You know, and then you're in strife. You're mad, and those things kind of get after us, don't it? So, you know, given, you know, these differences, you know, we have to remember, try to not take things personally. Don't make it personal. And, you know, remember, the other person may not be wrong, just different. You just got to look at that point of view. And they have a right to be different. We need to give them that right. We need to let go of control and trying to, you know, micromanage every little piece. Am I preaching to somebody right now? I don't know. You know, we micromanage things and it just gets rough. Because the closer that we get to someone, the more evident our differences are revealed. That's just the way it is. But it's worth it, isn't it? To get close to someone. And let somebody get close to us. It's worth all that pain. And there's not that much pain for the most part. We just need to be aware of it and how we can do that. Because, like I say, conflicts cannot always be avoided. And what I believe they do is sometimes conflicts help us to grow as a person. They help you grow. When we have to deal with things, we have to have that hard conversation that nobody wants to have, for the most part. Nobody wants to have that hard conversation, you know. But if you can see past the conversation, what's on the other side, because really, a couple things that'll help us as well as grow as a person, you know, conflicts can help us grow as a leader. It reveals our leadership tendencies and our inequity, our inferiorities in our leadership, of how we deal with a conflict, either in our relationship or in our business or in our family. How we deal with those things, you know, tells what kind of a leader we are. Are we the kind of leader that says, bless God, this is the way it is because I'm in charge? Fall in line, march. Or are we the kind of leader that wants to let people have their say and start to talk to them and start to try to hash this thing out and try to learn from each other? Because we can, learn a lot from each and every person, because, you know, anytime that you and I have community, we're going to have that opportunity for conflict, but community is always still worth it. You know, somebody said if you ever found the perfect church, as soon as you went there, it wouldn't be perfect anymore, right? You know, sometimes it's hard to come and to want to work with other people and to do something together, but it's worth it. Yes, it may be faster if you did it yourself, right? There's people that have that mentality. Well, it's faster if I just do it. Well, yeah, but you won't have community. You won't have closer relationship with other people. And how important that is to develop these things, because, you know, to me, conflicts can be settled through negotiation, and negotiation strengthens relationships. Anytime that you get into a situation and you can start to communicate with each other and negotiate yourself through this problem, it's going to strengthen your relationship. It's going to make it stronger on the other side, because you're fortifying it. You're coming together with two different opinions, and then you're trying to mesh these opinions together to come out with a thought where you can work together, and you're going to be stronger. And that's the good news. That's something that's going to happen on the other side. So what we can do is that, you know, we need to consider, you know, three different perspectives. First, always your side of the story, right? What's my side of the story? When you're having a disagreement with somebody, well, how am I seeing this? What am I looking at here? Why am I feeling this way? You know, and like I say, a lot of these things usually aren't a big deal, but what it does, it reveals something that's already inside of us. And so as well as you are looking at your side of the story, well then, if you can, and you should, step back a little bit and try to see their side of the story. Where are they coming from this? Why are they responding in this way? Is there something there I'm not seeing? There probably is. There's something there that you're not seeing. And there's usually something there that we're not seeing in ourselves. And that's why we need to take that time. And then lastly, we need to make sure we get God's side of the story. Well, I know what I want, and I kind of know what they want. But God, what do you want? That's a tiebreaker. You know what I'm saying? God has 51% vote. He should have all vote, but, you know, we need to let him have that. So if we do that, I believe it's going to help us, because we need to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. Don't be mean. It happens, don't it? In a marriage, especially between a husband and wife sometimes, or boyfriend, girlfriend, sometimes it gets real personal, doesn't it? You make it that way. And it can really bring a lot of pain. So how do we do this? You know, Romans 14:19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. What do we do to build up the other person? How do we do that? What's our goal? And we're going to look at that. So I'm going to give us some steps now of how you and I can resolve conflict. How do you resolve conflict? Somebody's got to do it, right? Have you ever just waited and hoped that it would work out? And sometimes it might, depending on how close the relationship is, you know, but for the most part, we have to do something. We have to be proactive. We have to decide to get involved. So here's something I want you to ask yourself. What is our goal as we're going into that hard conversation? Let's say you're at odds with somebody today. I want you to think about it. If you're trying to deal with this problem, what would be your goal when you go into having that hard conversation with this other person? A lot of people, I'm going to straighten them out. They're wrong, I'm right. I just got to make them see it, man. Right? They're just not seeing it. If that's our goal, you're starting off in a hole. Starting off in a big hole. So the next question is, do we want to win the argument or save the relationship because you may not get both? You have to make that choice. How important is this relationship in your life? Do you want to try to fix it and keep it strong and keep it going? Or do you want to prove to somebody that you're right and they're wrong? Because if that's our intention, when we go into it, the odds are we're going to maybe lose that relationship. So you need to think that out. How important is it? So there's a little acronym here, is the word calm. If you look that up on the internet, there's a lot of different ways of looking at this, and I have my own version a little bit. So we need to stay calm and not tell somebody to calm down. Has any man ever tried to tell a woman to calm down before? How'd that work out? Huh? Didn't work, did it? So maybe if you said stay calm, I don't know if that's going to work either, but anyway, we'll give it a go here. So the first word is, or the first letter is C. C is communicate. Communication, that's important, right? Proverbs 15:1 says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay, so if you're going in to have that hard conversation, you start with communication. So you need to choose your words wisely. I wouldn't go in there and just wing it. You know, hey, whatever comes out, comes out. That's just the way I am. No. You need to kind of choose your words wisely. You know, what do you really want to say? So we need to be ready to act and not react. Because acting means that we're intentional in what we want to try to say to keep from throwing gas on the fire. But if we just go in there and I'm going to react to what you say, well, then that could be a problem. That's gasoline waiting to hit the fire. So choose our words wisely. Some words you can say is, you know, we and not you, right? You don't want to say, you know, you do this. I mean, early in our marriage, my wife used to say, you always do this. And I would sit there and think, and I could figure out one time I didn't do that. I said, no, that's not true. I don't do it all the time. So I wouldn't listen. You know, that's my fault. But, you know, that's not a way to say to somebody, you always do this. You know, you kind of use it as we. You know, we need to try to fix this relationship. We need to stop talking down to each other. Instead of you need to stop talking down to me. You know, so if you turn it that way, it's kind of saying the same thing, but it's in a way they can take it. And it'll put out that fire. Another one that's hard is to work on our tone. Tone sets the atmosphere. You know, I have been accused of not having the correct tone all the time. Guilty, probably. I know I was not meaning to say anything wrong, but my tone wasn't great. I wasn't yelling. It just was maybe a little more direct. So you know what I mean by direct? You know, and what I, you know, I didn't mean nothing mean by it. I didn't, you know, because I wasn't even mad. But my tone was wrong. So, messed up the whole deal. The other person couldn't receive from me because I wasn't saying it in a way that they liked. When you're doing that communication, work on trying to fix the problem instead of assigning blame. You know, a lot of times people like to assign blame. Well, you did this. You know, instead of that, just try to fix the problem. The other stuff will work out. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So, if somebody says something bad to you, what do? You bless them. That's hard. It says, don't return evil for evil. Like I've always said, in a marriage especially, or in a relationship, there might be times one person's mad, not both. So the one that's not mad, you need to choose. Don't get mad. If you're not mad, don't let the other person get you mad. Then we might have a little success in fixing this. But if you let that other person make you mad, you got two people mad, well, now you got a problem. Now it's insult for insult. Boom, boom, tit for tat. So, and I'm not talking about being a doormat. If you're in a relationship with somebody that's abusive or toxic, that's not what this is about. You know, there's another way of dealing with that. I'm talking about in a salvageable relationship, you're with somebody and you just had a disagreement and you need to work it out. That's what I'm talking about here today. I'm not talking about nobody getting, you know, verbally abused. Next one is for calm was communication. Now we're going to look at assess. That means we need to identify the conflict. You got to find out. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, should be a very common scripture for you. If not, you need to highlight it in your Bible or wherever you're at, on your phone. Good one to go to weekly, if not daily. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Here, you're bringing in the big guns. God. God can see the big picture. He knows what's going on. You know, there ain't no playing games with God. He knows what's in our heart even before we say it. You know what I mean? So first, we need to check our own heart. Check yourself out. You know, instead of just jumping in and, you know, bless God, I got my side of the story and they got theirs. You know, before you do that, step back a little bit and kind of assess the situation. What's going on inside of me? Why did this make me mad? You know, I mean, granted, it might have been something legit. Maybe they actually did something terrible. But I mean, if it wasn't that, I mean, maybe something just triggered you. And all of a sudden you responded to them because that's the way your dad used to talk to you. Right? Or your mom used to talk to you, or not talk to you, talk down on you. So maybe you had that going on in your life. And so when this other person kind of had some similar mannerisms, all of a sudden, boom, just dredged up all that heartache and woe from as a child. We need to let go of that. Jesus can heal that. That's easy stuff. That's simple. No problem there. So you'd search your heart. And then you need to pray for the other person's heart. Because as messed up as you are, they're probably even messed up just as much or more, right? They're broken. Pray for them. Try to find out what's going on in their life. Maybe what's making them maybe act this way. You know, it could be from their childhood. It could be a lot of things that's went on in their life. You know, trust issues. You know, maybe you broke a trust. Who knows? So what I found out is we may think we know what the conflict is, but in reality, it's just a symptom for another issue. That's probably more the case than not. There's another issue going on inside of one of you that's causing this. Okay, number three, as we got communication assessed, the third one is L, and it's called listen. Listening. How many are good listeners? You know, some people don't listen very good. I ain't gonna lie. Some people, you know, when they're in a conversation with somebody, instead of listening to what they're saying, they're trying to think of their next thing to say. You know what I'm saying? And then they miss out on what the person's saying. So that's going on. James 1, 19 and 20, it says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So that's a very important thing right here. He tells us to be quick to hear. We need to be a better listener to everything going on around us. When I counsel people, I try to let them do all the talking if I can. Because little by little, they're giving me the information I need to diagnose the problem. But if I'm doing all the talking, I can't get to their problem. So we need to be a good listener and try to hear what people saying. You know, so do more listening than talking. Number two, you try to maybe hear with their ears. Put yourself in their position. You know, try to listen from their point of view if you can. Ask God to help you do that. Might give you a different picture. And then also, you know, try to hear their heart. Don't hear their head, because what's coming out of their mouth may not totally be what's really in their heart. You know, you try to hear that heart. You'll find out that there's maybe not that much differences between you after all. So the last one is called M, calm. We got communication, assess, listen. And now the last one is the big gun. And I use the word minister. Minister. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19 says, this is for Christians. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed us the word of reconciliation." Okay, so if you're a Christian, it says we're a new creature. To me, that's new life. New life gives us a new way of dealing with things. You know, the old life used to have a problem. How'd you deal with it? You know, maybe the person that's boom, starts screaming. Maybe you're raised in a screaming family. Maybe you're raised in a hitting family. You know, don't know. Maybe you're raised in a family that just ignores each other. You know, but that's the old life, new life. I'm talking new life right now. New way of living. If we have a new way of living in Christ, then we also have a new way of dealing with problems in Christ. Correct? We have a new way of dealing with these things. So, we've got to make sure that we don't go back to the old patterns of unforgiveness. You know, I don't know where you consider yourself financially in life. Some of you are maybe better off than others. But I've found out there are some things in life that are out of my price range that we can't afford. Unforgiveness is one of those. I cannot afford unforgiveness in my life. It's too expensive. Too expensive. Causes a lot of problems. See, the Bible says here that God has called us to be a reconciler. What's a reconciler? Number one, first, we get reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Somebody probably reached out and helped us. You know, you might have accidentally got it on your own, but, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, definitely they're helping. And, you know, and there's probably other contacts or, you know, interactions you've had with other Christians that made you take one more step closer to God, then another step closer to God. You know, so that process is called the reconciliation process, that we're trying to get closer to God. Well, it's the same thing that as God made it so, even though we're all messed up and we're broken and all these bad attitudes, God still wanted to be reconciled with us. Well, that same attitude of reconciliation is how we need to see other people. We need to be reconciled to them. And if good enough for God, good enough for us, right? So God wants us to be reconciler. So don't go into the situation. Some people go into it, oh, you know, I'm going to do damage control. But see, if we're just going it with damage control, we're going to miss out. So don't do damage control, but do restoration of relationship control. That should be your primary goal when you're trying to go deal with a problem with somebody. What do we need to do to fix this relationship? How can we fix it? Now, forgiveness focuses on the offense or offense, while reconciliation focuses on the relationship. That's what we need to see, is that part. So anytime you've been in an argument, you're trying to work it out, see, we can get resolution to our differences and still not get reconciliation. You can make it so you can tolerate each other, right? Sometimes. But you may not have relationship, you may not have that connection anymore. So we just don't want to try to fix it part way. Now, maybe if the other person doesn't want to come along, you can't force. But as far as you're concerned, you should go for the full thing. Total restoration, total reconciliation in that relationship. And as far as your responsibility is, you know, you're not a hater, but you're a lover. A couple closing scriptures as we close. I just want to throw these out. I know I threw a lot of them at you today. But Proverbs 21:23, this might be for somebody. Maybe for all of us. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his souls from trouble. Right? That's a good one. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. You know, I pity those people who just say what they think. It's a wonder they ain't got no friends. We can't say what we think all the time. You've got to guard your mouth from trouble. Last one, Colossians 3:13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. There's the pain right there. God forgives us, we need to forgive other people. Let it go. Maybe you're at odds with somebody right now. Maybe you've had some bad things happen in your life. You give it over to God. Today's the day to be free. Don't want to hold on to that pain. There are no perfect earthly fathers and no perfect earthly mothers. There's only one perfect heavenly Father. Rest of us, we're just trying. Do the best we can. Amen?